Welcome to the next step. This is Father Voskin welcoming you back to the next step, a series of podcasts delving into the very fabric of being, examining life through the ancient lens of the Armenian Church and Armenian Orthodoxy. The next step is part of the expanding vision of In Issues Mission, the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, and is brought to you exclusively here on epostle.net. So let's take the next step. It is so good to have you back because I am really encouraged. I have to tell you that this week has been such a blessing for me. And I use that word blessing in a very, very special way because I feel rejuvenated. I feel refreshed. I'm so encouraged by the response we've gotten to these podcasts. Your emails, your voice messages have been very, very encouraging. People asking me, what is this all about? Well, like, is this Armenian Church? Is this, what is Armenian Orthodoxy? You know, in a very real sense, Armenian Church is, sometimes when we talk about it as if it's a vacuum, whether it's Armenian Church, Russian Church, Presbyterian, Methodist, or whatever church it is. You know, faith is something that is lived. It's experienced every single day. It's not something you wind up on Sundays. It's something that you live out in your dealings with people and especially your expressions of love with other people. So to talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, it's taking that next step beyond church and saying, what is the essence of the faith and how does that lead me or guide me? How does that make a difference in my life and in my relationships? So I want to thank all of you who've been writing. And I think what we're going to need to do immediately, at least from this past week, is we do need to have sort of a letters section in this podcast, and we'll work on it for future podcasts. And so when you do write, please let me know if you'd like me to mention your name or if you want to go anonymously, because some of those letters need to be addressed and need to be aired out with a lot of you, with our people who are listening. So thank you again. I'm encouraged because, you know, the next step is all about moving beyond the stereotypes, moving beyond what we call, you know, people talk about Armenian church sometimes, and they talk about these great festivals and picnics, and, you know, certainly there are some communities that really know how to live it up. I mean, there are some places that make some pilaf and kebab that you could not find anywhere else. But you know what? That's like a byproduct of a group of people getting together. Isn't that the truth? Isn't there something more essential to what we call the church? And of course there is. And that's what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about. What is the essence? What was that thing that St. Gregory the Illuminator talked about in the 4th century? What did Vartan die for? And what was that faith that so many people throughout the centuries were able to stay alive because this absolute faith in something beyond themselves? Well, you know, when you look at the world today and you say, well, we're not living in those times, you know, there's really not that much difference from the times before. Yeah, technology's brought us to a place where we could do this podcast, and I'm sitting here in Glendale, California, and some of you are listening out there in Europe, in Armenia, in Asia, and elsewhere in the United States. Sure, those are conveniences that we have. But essentially, the human spirit has not really changed much. It's the same spirit that many times hurts, many times laughs, and needs consoling, needs a companion to laugh with, to share with. And that's where faith has to come in. That's where our church has to come in. The church, not just a physical being, not a group of people getting together, but an actual entity, a collective that revolves around a common faith. So what does this all have to do with us today? Well, I'm going to take you to a place called Transfiguration. It's a cool word, isn't it? Transfiguration. I mean, people are always dealing with figures, either as accountants or as body trainers. But what is a transfig? Or is it some kind of a fruit that maybe grows here in California and nowhere else? Well, before we go a little too far, actually, this Sunday is called Vartevar in the Armenian Church. Armenian Church celebrates 5 major feasts on its calendar. There's, of course, the 2 big ones, Christmas and Easter. You know, get out the Christmas shoes and put on that Easter tie. Those are the ones that everybody comes to. But there are 3 other feasts that are equally on par with it. They're called major feasts. One of them is dedicated to the Holy Cross. That's in September. The other one is dedicated to Astvazadzin, to the Holy Mother of God. And that's in August, when we have the great blessings. But this one, this coming Sunday, is called Transfiguration, and in Armenian, Vartevar, because actually we kind of pulled one of those numbers on those poor heathens. You know, every time there was some heathen gathering, what they tried to do is Christianize many of those customs. And in the old times, there was this pagan ritual of bathing dedicated to the goddess Astrig. Astrig was one of the Armenian goddesses, and there was this feast, Vartevar, Vartovarel. Vart is roses or flowers, and they would ornament and decorate the places with flowers. And what happened, and there would be a lot of water. It was a cleansing ritual, water exchanged. And so in many senses, I remember many, many times where we'd do services and people would actually come with water guns to the church just so they could douse other people with water. And of course, in Armenia, this is really taken off because, you know, after the fall of communism in 1991, they wanted to kind of pick up some of the old traditions of the church. Well, instead of opening Bibles, they started opening up some of the more fun things to look at, like dousing people. And I've heard many of those stories about people walking the streets and really getting drenched with buckets and buckets of water. Well, that's the Feast of Vartevar, but what happened was the church put this Feast of Transfiguration right with Vartevar, but throughout the centuries and even until now, it's been very customary and typical for people to refer to this Transfiguration Feast as Vartevar. So we used a lot of big words. Transfiguration, Vartevar, what does this all mean? Well, the story comes to us, the 3 Gospels, the 3 Synoptic Gospels carry the story. I'm going to read from Matthew today, Matthew chapter 17. But you can find the same story in Mark and Luke as well. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17, the first few verses, where the story of Transfiguration takes place. If you feel like opening it up, I'm going to be reading out of the Revised Standard Version. It's a version that I care for. I like the New Revised as well. Sometimes it's a little bit easier for me because it's not gender specific. I know many people have the King James Version at home. A little harder to read, but, you know, it's one of those freebies that are given out at Sunday school. So people have a lot of these kind of sentimental things. But it doesn't matter which version you read, as long as it's not an amplified version. You know what an amplified is? That's when people start putting in what they believe. Like if you want to know if your version's amplified, go to the beginning, to the first page, and just see what does it say under. Because obviously they weren't written in English, so it's a translation from something. And it'll usually say amplified. Of course, if you see something like Watchtower Society, it's probably better to just kind of avoid that one. Not better, it's you have to kind of avoid it, because the Watchtower Society is the amplified of amplified. They just kind of not only put things in there, they take out things. So you got to watch what you're reading. So stick to some major translation, like Revised Standard, like the New English, like the NIV version. There's quite a few of them that you're welcome to follow along with. Let's get to Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. So you got the picture so far? So Jesus takes a few of his friends, Peter, James, and John, his disciples, up with him to this mountaintop. And over there, all of a sudden, he's transfigured. In other words, his looks, his outward appearance changed. And they saw two other people, these two characters we'll talk about in a few minutes, Moses and Elijah, were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here," or like three tents. "One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. And Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the story of the Transfiguration, what we celebrate on Vartavar. The two characters that show up with Jesus up on the mountaintop, Moses, of course, Moses exemplified the law. He was the personification of the law. He was the one who gave the law to the people. And Elijah was the personification, was the symbol of the prophets. So what's happening here is you see that between the law and the prophets is standing the one that has been ordained by God. The Christ is standing in between them, and the Christ is now transfigured. And what does the scripture tell us? It tells us that his face shone as the light. For that one split second, we were given an opportunity to see the divinity of Christ. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? The light. The light was shining. In other words, he was transfigured. His outward appearance changed. And this is so important because we are given a glimpse of the divine in that light. You may say, well, how? Well, what is that light? You know, you walk into an Armenian church, and one of the biggest customs that we have is we light candles. It's not just to light candles because we want a wish granted. This is not happy birthday to you. This is about our acknowledgement of the light. Like, isn't it interesting that when you read the ancient mythologies, you read Old Testament mythology, how does the Bible begin? It begins, God created the universe. And what was that first day of creation, according to the Old Testament myth? It says, on that first day, he said, "Let there be light." Now think about that for a moment. He doesn't create the sun and the moon in that story for another couple days. So what is that light he's talking about? That light is that pure, free, clean energy that exists from the beginning of time. And that's what that light is. I mean, think about what's happened in the last 30, 40 years with the marvels of technology. We're able to bring people back to life, people who've had near-death experiences. What do they tell you? They tell you that when they're stretched out, what do they see? They see the light, and it is warm. And they say, I forgot the figure, it's something like 95, 99% of the people see this. Of course, if that 1% who doesn't see it, you got to watch out. You know, you don't want to be that 1% that doesn't see the light. So kind of always stay in that whole genre of light. But you get the idea of what's going on over here. Jesus is showing us a bit of that divinity for that split second. I want to really challenge you to that change of transfiguration in your lives right now. Let's listen to a song. Last week, we played a song called Chorut Chorin, and it was interesting. A lot of the responses that we got were about that music. I think that that's what's so exciting to people from the outside, is a chance to listen to some very unusual spiritual music. Today, we're going to be listening to a song dedicated to the light. It comes to us from some seminarians. They're at the Vazgenyan Seminary over at Lake Sevan. And they did this recording of songs from the Arevakal, that is the service of sunrise. And I want you to just think about light coming in. You'll hear these songs, you'll hear the chanting of these men, these seminarians, and as you hear it, just listen to the patterns in the music. Listen how the light comes and fills in not only the world, but fills in the life. You could feel it in this song. So take a moment now. It's a 3-minute little cut. We're going to be listening to the Vazgenyan seminarians singing Luis y Luso, and we'll come back right after that. What did I tell you? I mean, I hope you took that opportunity as they were singing, just to, you know, I will be playing these different songs, and I really want to give you some unusual tunes, hymns during these podcasts for you to reflect on. But think about it. When you close your eyes, let those tunes, let those hymns, those melodies take you away. Now here's what the words were. O light divine and one indivisible Holy Trinity, we born of the earth glorify thee always together with the heavenly hosts. think about that whole idea of the transfiguration. In our life today, what is the one thing that we all yearn for and long for? It's the work that we do with so many young people these days. It always gives us the same answer. The one thing people are looking for is that stability, to know that there is some place that they can call home, something that is unique and unchangeable. And what is that unchanging thing if not God, the essence of God, that light force? And what St. John says, God is love. Isn't that really what this is all about? That love never changes. Love never dies. And you think about Jesus standing there between the law and the prophets. The laws today change. The prophecies change, but God does not change. It is the constant. In fact, what is the name of God in Armenian Orthodoxy is It is the verb to be. It is the seventh letter of the alphabet, the verb to be. Not that God was, God will be, but God is. It is the verb to be in the present tense. Because God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Now, what does that mean? He was always an old man sitting there with a beard. Forget about all those stereotypes. Here's what Armenian Orthodoxy tells you. Tells you the name of God is love. And so love never changes. Think about that incredible love. You know, unfortunately, I think that the Greeks did us a number a few years ago, a few centuries ago, when they tried to divide up love into so many different ways. You know, love is one. It's singular. There is no different types of love. Love is one, and it is that same energy that is passed out in light. Light is one. You cannot extract it into different forms and everything. You could define it. You could talk about it. You could talk about the different rays and the different ultraviolet waves and so on. But it is essentially that oneness, that uniqueness. And that's what the God force is all about. That's what God is all about. That's what Armenian Orthodoxy steers us to. To look for that constant in our lives. The more you live, the more you know that all of life changes. There are no guarantees. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Money is good. Yeah, it's a great thing to have, but you know that you can't spend it forever. At some point, it all ends, and that money is really of no use. The goods and wealth that you have are only as good to the extent that you could enjoy it, and you could bring enjoyment to others. You know, but we hunger for stability. You know, every life which is short of perfection seeks that stability. I mean, think about it. God is really the only constant. And when you say you are a member of the family of God, you're saying you are a member of the family of love. You are a member of the family of light, of everything that is greater than the laws and the prophets. So when we say we are Christian, that's what it means. It's interesting, as Armenians, we all have these IAN, YANs at the end of our name, which means the family of or the son of. Think about it. A Christian has an IAN. It is the family of Christ, the family of love. And you are part of that eternal constant. That's what Jesus gave us the ability to tap into at Transfiguration, to be able to see his divinity transfigured in front of us, and the ability for us to tap into it, to plug into it. You know, in my younger years, I left home to study abroad. I went to study in Armenia. And, you know, during those times, I mean, I went like during the Brezhnev times. We're talking about like a major, major Cold War. It used to take a month for a letter to come from America, a month to send it back. There were no telephones. let alone no internet, no access to people. And I was basically isolated away from family and friends. And at certain times, life was very challenging. That loneliness, that depression kind of gets you. And one evening, I'll never forget this, I was walking in the courtyard of Etchmiadzin. That's the monastery in Armenia. It is one of the earliest structures in the Armenian. It is actually the first Armenian church where St. Gregory had the vision, but it is one of the earliest structures in all of Christendom. And I had the good fortune to be a seminarian there. And I'll never forget this. One night I was walking in the courtyard of Etchmiadzin, probably a little bit depressed. It was, I believe, the time Thanksgiving, Christmas, time for families to be together. And of course, I was half an earth away from the ones that I loved. And I looked up at the stars. And I realized by looking at those stars, looking at the moon, that it was the same stars, the same moon, the same sky that my loved ones were looking up at in Los Angeles. And I connected. It was that constant, the same God who created the stars and moon that we see here or wherever you are, the same ones that they see on the other side of the moon. Oh, wow, that does sound like a Pink Floyd album, doesn't it? On the other side of the earth, the moon, in other words, it is all part of the same universe. It is all part of that constant. And this is really how we begin a process of change in our lives, by tapping into the constant. It's ironic, isn't it? You want to change, you want to change toward the better. I mean, most people are looking for ways to improve themselves. How do you do it? First and foremost, you need to be sure of the constants in your life. And the one constant that we do have is that God is one, that God is there from the beginning, that God is the author of life, that God is love. Now, if A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. If God is love, then God is the author of life, then therefore love is the author of life. If God is love and God is also creator of you and your spirit, then love is the creator of your spirit. And you see how it works? How beautiful it is? How everything is interconnected. So it begins with this acceptance of this transfigured Christ. It said, his face shone like the sun. When you hear a statement like that, what should you do? You should allow that sun to burn and kill the disease which is in you. What is that disease within you? Well, yes, it can be physical. But some of the emotional disease, some of the doubt that you have in your life, some of those things that prevent you from moving forward, the fears that you have, the inability to reconcile with others or reconcile with yourself. It said his garments became white as snow. Allow that brightness to radiate within you, to shine for Christ, so that the Christ is shining through you, so that you can be a reflection of his love. Where there's pain, where there's sorrow, go out there and lend a hand. When you see people hurting, don't be scared to help. When you see people in hospitals, don't be scared to drive over and visit with them. When you hear that they're in prison, don't be scared not only to help them out, but to help the families that have to deal with it. When you hear about death, don't be scared to go out there and witness to a life that is greater than the physical existence. That's what transfiguration is about, and that is the Armenian Orthodox understanding of transfiguration. In other words, not an event that took place, but an event that took place and impacts us today. Today, in the 21st century, wherever we are. Listen, I'm going to leave you with this small little message for this coming Sunday, being Vartivar, being the Transfiguration. You know, use it as an opportunity to really look and see what are those things that really need to be changed, and what is that constant that runs through your life from the beginning of your days to the end of your days. You'll find that it is tied to that love, and it is that manifestation of love. Look for it in all things that you do. You know, it's like Saint Nectarius teaches us, seek God in your heart and not outside of it. Well, it looks like we're up against the clock, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I look forward to taking the next step with you next week. Make sure you tune in, and better yet, you know what? Go on epostle.net. The good folks at the Apostles Net have set up this system. Put in your email address. Tell your friends about it. Put in an email and get this podcast every week. I look forward to being with you, to exploring different dimensions of life through the lens of the Armenian Orthodox faith and seeking out all that God has in store for us. Today in the background, you heard some music. If you enjoyed that, that was the Desert Moon Song album put out by Dean Evanson. And of course, we have the riffs on both sides of this this podcast by Ian Anderson, and introducing us and exiting us. So with that, we exit today from the producer, Susie, for Ken up in the booth, and for myself, Father Vosken. God's blessings be with you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.